The 29th of March 2024 marked a watershed in Southern Humboldt history, and not in a good way. That was the day Roy Smith closed his veterinarian practice in Garberville, bringing to a close decades of continuous animal care services in the area. Veterinary services had been available in Southern Humboldt since way before 1991, when Judy Horvath started her practice, which she then sold to Smith in the early years of the millennium. Now, almost a year and a half after Smith closed his Garberville Redway Animal Hospital, residents of Southern Humboldt still don't have veterinary services and need to seek care for their animals either 2 hours south in Willits, Mendocino, or an hour north in Fortuna. When KMUD's Lauren Schmidt spoke at the time to Roy Smith about the closing of his practice, she discovered that lack of animal care was a problem Southern Humboldt residents shared with other rural areas in the US. All across the country, vets were retiring and closing up shop because they could not find colleagues to buy or take over their businesses. This led Schmidt to interview four other stakeholders across California to find out just how deep the issue goes and what the possible solutions are. What follows is a KMUD News public affairs special about the veterinary crisis in California. The program was conceived by Lauren Schmidt and written, edited, and narrated by me, Sigurd Björn. We begin with Roy Smith speaking about the closing of his practice in Garberville in March last year.
I've been in Garberville since 2004 is when I took over Garberville Redway Vet Group. And I've been practicing for 36 years or 38 years. I can't remember one of the two. A long time. I found out about Northern California. I lived in Southern California. I'm from Georgia originally. Graduated University of Georgia, but moved to California as soon as I graduated. I lived down in the Riverside area for 16 years. I practiced down there, got my pilot's license and started flying, and I started flying up here and loved the area. And so found out this place was for sale and I bought it.
Roy Smith practiced in Southern Humboldt for 20 years, treating pets in not only Southern Humboldt, but Northern Mendocino as well. His retirement left people in the area scrambling to find care for their animals.
It's a tough situation in this area, very tough. All the vets are overwhelmed with clients, and so my clients having to find new vets is difficult. And I would say most of them have been able to get into, most of them have been going into the Ferndale group or the Fortuna group, which is the same people.
Jennifer Flores is the co-owner of the Humboldt Veterinary Medical Group in Fortuna, which, by being the closest animal care service to Southern Humboldt, has absorbed the bulk of Roy Smith's client base. Flores, who is a registered veterinary technician, runs the business with her veterinarian husband, Christopher.
We've got two locations. One's located in Ferndale. The other one is in Fortuna. We are the only practice from, like, basically Eureka to Willits. We have been able to sort of absorb the influx of patients and clients, but I will tell you that it is extremely challenging.
Extremely challenging is a phrase you can apply to the veterinary profession as a whole of late. Roy Smith's retirement and the closure of his rural practice is a part of a national pattern. A wave of animal doctors leaving the field, creating a vacuum the industry is struggling to fill. Here is Roy Smith again.
The veterinary profession is in a huge shortage of veterinarians right now. Huge. So what's happening is all of us baby boomers that are retiring are not able to find replacements for privately owned hospitals.
There's a great number of practice owners that are entering the final years of their career who would like to sell their practice but can't.
That's the voice of Grant Miller, the regulatory director of the California Veterinary Medical Association. Here is Roy Smith again.
Worse so in the rural areas than in the suburban and city areas. all across the United States, practices are closing up because they can't find anybody. And unfortunately, that's what's happening here. We've certainly tried everything, including listing the practice with two different national brokers. And as I told you, putting ads in the National Veterinary Magazine and the California Veterinary Magazine, contacting every vet school in the United States through the veterinary internet portal that basically blasts ads to every vet school in the United States.
So, as the baby boomers are getting out, the people entering the field of veterinary medicine are less inclined to run their own business.
Especially new graduates. New graduates in the last 10 to 15 years certainly are less interested to go and buy a practice and work right out of veterinary school.
That was the voice of Carl Jandry, Dean for Admissions and Student Programs at UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine. Here is Grant Miller at the California Veterinary Medical Association again, offering an insight into why newly minted vets are less inclined to start their own businesses.
We understand that newer graduates that are getting out of veterinary school are coming out of school with a pretty significant debt load.
And because of the profession itself, where veterinarians come out of school with a large amount of student loan debt, and then they are not paid what their human counterparts are paid, it makes it challenging then to be able to borrow money to buy a practice.
The average debt load of a new graduate is somewhere between $160,000 and $180,000. Keep in mind, though, that there are some graduates that have debt that exceeds $400,000. And that isn't necessarily just from veterinary school, but that can also be from their education prior to veterinary school that they're carrying. Also note that the average salary for a veterinarian in California is around $121,000 a year. And that isn't necessarily your new graduate. That's your average. And so there are people that are getting out of school and they're not making a whole lot of money, but they have an awful lot of debt. We all know how much rent costs. We all know how much it costs to pay our power bill these days. When you start adding those things up, the prospects of practice ownership for a newer veterinarian are just staggering when you consider that they have kids to raise and mortgages to pay and debt to pay.
Someone who has first-hand knowledge of this debt load is Christopher Flores, the veterinarian husband of Jennifer Flores at the Fortuna-based Humboldt Veterinary Medical Group.
And so I have been in practice for 14 years, and I still owe tens of thousands of dollars in school loans.
And on top of it, they're really trying to devote a lot of their brain power into honing their skills as a new doctor. When you get out of veterinary school, you have a tremendous education, but it still takes a lot of practice and time to learn how to be a successful veterinarian. And so in the early stages of their careers, they just don't have the bandwidth to also take on small business ownership, especially with all of the regulatory constraints that are placed upon California veterinary practices here in California. That's one of the things that differs largely from other parts of the country is that we have quite a bit that we have to do to maintain regulatory compliance in our state.
So vaccine protocols, there are several producers within the area or in the area that I will sit down with annually and kind of review, their management protocols and judicious use of antibiotics and medications are a really, really big topic right now in veterinary medicine. A lot of the medications that used to be available over the counter now are only prescription, and this is expanding.
And so I think that a lot of younger veterinarians just don't have it in their early mindset to be business owners, which leaves these practice owners that are trying to sell their practices in the lurch because they don't have somebody that can take over their practice if they want them to.
Jennifer Flores.
The other thing that's happening is that we've noticed is solo practitioners can't see the number of patients that they need to see in order to continue maintaining their businesses. And so they're having to close down. Or the other thing that's happening is there's the rise of corporate medicine in our profession, for better or worse. And so corporate medicine is buying up smaller practices. They're buying up bigger practices too.
Here is Carl Jandry at UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine again, speaking about the corporatization of animal medicine.
Those practices that are smaller tend to be not attractive to these veterinary corporations that are buying practices. There are a lot of practices that are owned by large corporations. For instance, the Mars Corporation owns Blue Pearl, VCA, and Banfield. And those three entities alone have something like 1,700 hospitals and employ like 7,000 veterinarians. A single doctor practice in a rural location may not be as lucrative to these big corporations to be a purchaser. So who's left to purchase that practice as a veterinarian's retired? Well, it's going to be another single veterinarian who wants to live in that rural area, who wants the rural lifestyle, who wants to make a community out of it. Those folks are hard to find.
Hard to find, but they do exist. Roy Smith is one example, going back 20 years, and Jennifer and Christopher Flores at the Humboldt Veterinary Medical Group are another more recent example of out-of-area vets who decided to relocate to Humboldt County. Here is Christopher Flores.
I went to school undergrad in San Diego. I went to vet school and graduated in 2010 from UC Davis. My first job out of school actually was here. With Dr. Silver and Dr. Zanian as mentors. And I stayed here for about 10 or 11 months, and then I went back to Davis to do a residency. So it was 3 years of clinical training, and I did a master's as well during that time in preventative veterinary medicine. And we moved back up here and purchased the book. Moved back up here 10 years ago, 11 years ago?
2014.
In 2014, yeah. With the intention of you know, buying the practice, and that gets a couple of years to kind of procure financing. I like this area because I was interested in mixed animal practice, and there are only select like pockets in California that you can do that. And so this is was a real interesting place for me. And then when I left Davis, and you know, I always kind of thought about this area, and it made an impression on me. And so for us, it was a place that we saw ourselves settling down in, having a family.
In many ways, Humboldt County lucked out when the Floreses decided to set up shop in Fortuna and Ferndale, even if some people have to drive from the southern tip of the county to see them. The fact is that many other rural areas in the state and country are facing much bigger animal care crises. The strange and counterintuitive thing about this countrywide shortage of veterinarians is that the number of doctors in the U.S. is at a historic high. Carl Janre explains.
We have lots of veterinarians. There's almost 100,000 veterinarians now in the country. I think we just topped 100,000 in the American Veterinary Medical Association. But if you look at the number of hours worked, I bet you we all work a little bit less. Traditionally, especially in rural practices, full-time for a veterinarian in a rural practice is 24/7, 365. They're the community veterinarian. There's often one or two in a smaller town or a smaller region, and they are on call for everything.
Here is Jennifer Flores.
One of the uphill battles that we fight in our profession is burnout. And so we're actually trying to work through a way to problem solve, not having our staff burn out seeing an influx of patients. Because one of the things that we've really tried not to do is tell people that we're not taking new clients or new patients.
Veterinarians in general are not going to work 24/7, 365 at all anymore. And this mindset change to keep the veterinarians whole and their mental health solid, they have to have a time where they're not working. So I think that potentially, this is a guess, in the past, veterinarians probably worked on average, without trying, 80 to 100 hours a week. Now, veterinarians, I would have to guess, calculate that they're scheduled 40 to 50 hours a week, meaning the veterinarian of old takes two veterinarians of new to get the same kind of work done.
You know, because one of the things that is amazing about this profession is we get to be literal superheroes. You know, we get to care for creatures that otherwise don't, you know, they can't care for themselves. And we can only do that if we are well enough as a group and a community to be able to do it within the walls of the hospital. So it's something that we're actively doing, making sure that we've got enough time and space and people and supplies to be able to care for who we can.
Veterinarians now, me included, my students included, we enjoy the work we do. We're passionate. We have a fire in our belly for the intensity that we do and take care of the community. But we also realize that we can't do that 24/7. So we actually want to do something that actually balances our life and our work. So I think a lot of veterinarians are taking care of their well-being so that they can take care of the others. And taking care of themselves means potentially taking less time at work and more time for themselves. I think it's actually just a maturation of the profession where we all are much more clear about what is well-being and how does that help us be helpful.
This new, let's call it holistic, approach to work is not limited to veterinary medicine. Recruiters across the whole medical spectrum are reporting that doctors, nurses, technicians, and support staff are seeking a work-life balance that the baby boomer generation never saw as an option. This shift means there is a huge demand for more veterinarians to enter the field, despite the high number of people already in it.
It's estimated by 2030 that the United States will need 40,000 additional veterinarians. And by 2030, California is going to have a shortfall of somewhere between 1,300 and 2,200 companion animal vets and about a shortfall of 200 bovine equine practitioners.
In response to this projected shortfall in the next 5 years, several states have either already launched or are in the process of launching new vet schools.
The growth of veterinary schools is actually quite big right now. There are many new vet schools, and there's probably going to be about 10 to 12 veterinary schools come online in the next 5 years or so. These are stretched around the country in places that currently have no veterinary schools and are probably in underserved areas as well.
Here is Grant Miller at the California Veterinary Medical Association again.
Our veterinary school is also taking a look at how it admits students and how it chooses candidates to be veterinarians in hopes that some of those folks would be willing to work in a rural area as part of their career. So I'm hopeful that with the inclusion of those new schools and our streamlined licensing process here in California, that we should be able to see more veterinarians coming in the near future.
Christopher Flores, co-owner of the Ferndale and Fortuna practices, who earlier spoke of his own significant student loan debt, weighs in on the subject.
I really think that the financial stress is a real main, it's a big problem, right? I think that would be a really big perk, would be like some form of loan forgiveness.
And as Grant Miller points out, such programs already exist.
I'm happy that the industry is responding in some ways, for instance, creating debt forgiveness programs through the government, in which veterinarians who work in designated rural shortage areas can have some of their loans forgiven.
In fact, right now, the United States Department of Agriculture is offering loan forgiveness as an incentive to fill a veterinarian vacancy in Humboldt County. However, this incentive is only available to those willing and qualified to practice food animal medicine and does not apply to cat and dog doctors willing to ply their trade in Humboldt.
The loan forgiveness for working in a rural area, you know, in California, it only qualifies in like Alturas or something like that. We don't qualify as being rural enough. You know, for in areas of California. So for us recruiting a veterinarian to come and work, if there was loan forgiveness, you know, in grant form or whatever, that I think would be a draw to keep, you know, veterinarians.
For the record, Alturas is the only incorporated city in Modoc County. one of the least populated counties in California. Here are the Floreses speaking of the complexities of the recruitment process. Christopher Flores first, followed by Jennifer.
We have to think outside the box when we recruit veterinarians up here, and Jennifer is literally pounding the pavement. And when we hire somebody, a veterinarian, it means that she's been working on that for the past year and a half.
The other thing that happens to us is I'll recruit a veterinarian, and we get about 18 months out of a veterinarian that moves into this area from out of the area. We get about 18 months that they work with us before they leave. So if it's not a veterinarian who was born, raised here, lived here, went to school out of the area, and then is returning home, we almost guarantee that they leave.
So somewhere between a more robust loan forgiveness program and veterinary schools encouraging more rurally minded people to study the profession, there may be a long-term solution to the rural vet problem. But in the meantime, challenges abound for rural vets like the Floreses.
When we first purchased, I was shocked, and I continue to be more shocked as to how much it costs to operate on a monthly basis, especially when you're working somewhere rural, on a vet truck, or, you know, there's only so much business that an area can support. We pay our employees as much as we can, you know, but there's a ceiling as to what that can be, unfortunately.
Because we run up against the ceiling of what clients can pay. So if clients are unable to afford the services, that means that we're unable to afford paying staff anymore.
Here is Grant Miller on how far the discipline has come in diagnosing and treating animals.
Our medical care and surgery technique for animals has also come a long way. We can do a lot of things now with cancer treatments, regenerative medicine, such as stem cell medicine, all sorts of things that, just weren't really around, back 20 or 30 years ago.
Christopher Flores highlights his practice's capabilities.
We have imaging, x-rays, ultrasound. One of our practitioners is very adept at diagnostic ultrasounds. We have in-house, labs where we can do a whole multitude of different sampling and testing of different, blood, serum, urine, other bodily fluids, those types of things.
So we're seeing animals live a lot longer. We're seeing them live a lot better lives. And we pride ourselves on that as veterinarians that we're able to provide that. But with that comes a price tag. Veterinary medicine, as you know, is not dictated by insurance carriers like human medicine is. We're still a capitalized industry. And so there are a lot of things that some animal owners can't afford. So I've come to notice that a larger number of animal owning households can't afford even the most basic care for their animals. We know that roughly one out of every four animal owning households can't afford basic care, such as emergency care, sick animal care, or basic preventative medicine like vaccines and parasite control. And that's a great concern to us because as veterinarians, we want to be able to provide for all animals and make sure that they're as healthy as they can be.
With the expectations that clients have for care of their family members, those expectations are so high, but high expectations come with a higher price tag. You know, we're doing more diagnostics than we've ever done. We're doing more surgical procedures than we've ever done.
Inevitably, in this capitalized system, veterinary practices who have both the expertise and the equipment to diagnose and treat sick or injured animals get caught in the middle when clients struggle to pay for their services. One way for people to save is to take their pet's medication prescriptions to a low-cost pharmacy instead of buying them from the vet.
I cannot tell you how many external prescriptions I write a day. People take their prescriptions to Chewy or 1-800 Pet Meds or whatever, which is fine. I mean, it's their prerogative to do that.
But this is income lost to the local vet, which means they may have to increase the rate for their actual veterinary services.
We have had to deep dive into cash flow analyses and prices of everything, and it hurts. Like it, I feel like I get an ulcer in my stomach, you know, when we have to make these price adjustments. It has to pencil out or we don't stay in business. It's what you need to do, you know, to kind of survive in this time.
That was Christopher Flores, a veterinarian and co-owner of the Humboldt Veterinary Medical Group in Ferndale and Fortuna, bringing to a close this examination of the local and national veterinarian shortage. In summary, despite there being an all-time high number of vets practicing in the US, there is still an acute shortage of them, which is especially felt in rural areas. This issue is reflected in the lack of animal care services in southern Humboldt County, whose last vet shut up shop 15 months ago, leaving residents to travel an hour or two to visit their nearest animal care facility. The shortage could be somewhat relieved by a robust rural vet student loan forgiveness program, which in turn would hopefully lead to an up-and-coming vet to open the doors of the shuttered Garberville and Redway Animal Services once again. You've been listening to a KMUD News Public Affairs special on the rural veterinary crisis in the U.S. You heard from retired veterinarian Roy Smith, veterinary practice owners Jennifer and Christopher Flores, Carl Jandre from UC Davis, and Grant Miller from the California Veterinary Medical Association. Our interviewer was Lauren Schmidt, who conceived the program. The show was written, edited, and produced by me, Sigurd Bjørn, for KMUD. Thank you for listening.